Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Issues, etc. Oh, it's the old song. I remember those commercials, don't you? But I also remember I was, at the time, the young Republican moving to a highly unionized state. I was a vicar. That's a, kind of a pastoral intern during my seminary education. Moved to Michigan. I was a little concerned because I drove a foreign car. I drove a Toyota in those days. That was some time ago. In those days, I was wondering whether or not that might put me in bad stead with the congregation I was going to serve up there. I assumed, you know, a lot of people are going to be members of unions in the state of Michigan, and I didn't know much about it, and I didn't know if I really approved of collective bargaining. Something seemed wrong at the time to me about that, and of course, then when you're in the workforce, you start thinking different thoughts about it. We're going to hear a story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly during the rest of the program of Issues Etc. today about a Catholic diocese that is refusing to work with a labor union, a teacher's union, attached to a Catholic school. We'll play the story for you. I want to know what you think about collective bargaining, about unions. We're hearing a lot about the auto industry. You know, the auto industry is built around labor unions in many ways, and as the industry seems to be collapsing in certain sectors, people are wondering about unions. Is it smart? Well, what I want to know is it right or is it wrong? Does the Bible have anything to say of encouragement or discouragement about labor unions? It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc., live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 20th of November, and I want your thoughts on Christians and labor unions. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or just give us a call. Our toll-free number this Thursday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. You might have grown up in a labor family, in a union family. And so you think, I don't know anything different. This is the way it ought to be. I'm not asking questions about whether they cost too much money or about whether they're wise economically. I'm asking about the right and the wrong of collective bargaining. As a Christian, are you suspicious of labor unions? And if so, please tell me why. And if you think they're a good idea, I also want to hear from you. Why? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. It's Audio Open Lines. Now, this story comes from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. It's a little bit about a Catholic diocese that's having some trouble with the teachers' union.
There was a time when a labor strike like this one against the Catholic Church in Scranton, Pennsylvania, would have been difficult to imagine. The church, after all, has always been the champion of workers' rights. These workers are Catholic school teachers whose union was suddenly shut out of the Scranton diocese.
It's union busting of the worst sort, because we're used to union busting in the 21st century, but we're not used to those kind of tactics coming from the Catholic Church. How can you not say it's hypocrisy when you say that when they urge other employers to allow their workers to have the right to organize, yet deny it to your own workers?
The Scranton Diocese had recognized the union, which represents about a third of its teachers, for over 30 years, until Bishop Joseph Martino arrived. He commissioned a study of the dwindling parochial school enrollment. The bishop then consolidated four unionized high schools into one and said it would no longer work with the union. It caused an uproar in Scranton's heavily unionized Catholic community.
Many people do not understand all of the facts, and I think if they saw the kind of rhetoric that I've endured from various sides, they would see that we're beyond the stage of talking at this point. So I have made a decision, and I don't think the word has gotten out yet, but it is final.
The bishop's stance might not have caused such an outcry if not for the church's long record on workers' rights. Over 100 years ago, Pope Leo XIII issued an encyclical supporting workers' rights to a living wage and union protection. In the 1960s, the church defended the farm workers' right to organize. And as late as 1986, U.S. Catholic bishops proclaimed that no one may deny the right to organize without attacking human dignity itself.
All right. The question I'm laying on the table, and we'll get back to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, their report on what they're calling union busting on the part of the Scranton bishop and the archdiocese there with the teachers' union. Now, listen to what that says. As late as 1986, the U.S. Catholic bishops proclaimed no one may deny the right to organize without attacking human dignity itself. Is this an issue of human dignity? That is, collective bargaining, labor unions? Or is there something in the Bible that would forbid labor unions? I want to hear from you. It's audio open lines. It's Thursday afternoon, the 20th of November, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Tim calling from his car. Hi, Tim.
How you doing, sir?
Very well.
I'd be skeptical about anything coming from PBS in the first place, but I don't really like unions. I never really have. I don't think it is tied to human ethics or anything like that, but I think maybe at the outset of a union, when they first began, maybe someone had some good ideals. I think it's been tainted. I think it's been applied incorrectly down through the years. Now, I think that's where the problem has come with it. I think it probably was a good idea initially, though.
Tim, thank you very much. Okay, what about the rest of you? He says, okay, it may have been an okay idea to begin with, but the way it's been applied isn't right. Do you think it has something to do with human dignity? As the Roman Catholic Church has said until recently, the right to organize in your labor is essentially a right that is tied to basic human dignity. Agree or disagree? Does the Bible have anything to say about unions? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us with questions or comments during audio open lines, talkback@issuesetc.org. Mike in Rockford, Illinois says, I don't think that labor unions by themselves are bad or necessarily is a sin to be a member of a union. The problem, one of them anyway, says Mike, the problem I have with them is the political involvement. As far as I can tell, unions exclusively support politicians that are pro-abortion. There are many other areas where I think unions are wrong, but that may drift into the other kingdom. Mike, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Rockford, Illinois. What about the rest of you? Now, Mike's concern is more in the result or perhaps in the way that unions practice their politics. But what about unions themselves? Right or wrong? Does the Bible have anything to say about collective bargaining? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Kathy's calling from her car. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. We are not from a union family, but I do have a son who's now wanting to become an electrician, and the non-union shops were not very good shops. The union shops have much improved business practices, but I think it could be looked at, and I wanted to bounce this off of you and have you discuss it, a Ten Commandment issue about thou shalt not steal. A lot of non-union shops don't seem to pay their workers well. They don't want to provide benefits. They don't have good business practices. So anyway, I was wondering if it could be looked at as like a Seventh Commandment issue and to help someone improve and protect their possessions and income.
That's very interesting, Kathy. Thank you very much. Smartest listeners in radio, as I always say. Okay, the commandment, you shall not steal. One of the explanations of that commandment is not only that you don't take what belongs to your neighbor, but you seek to, however is within your means, to help him improve and protect his property. Is that essentially what a labor union is? I mean, getting together with your other workers, bargaining collectively with your employer and saying to them, look, we're here to protect each other, our union brothers and sisters. We're in this together and we're trying to protect each other's property. We're trying to help them promote and improve their property. Some might say, well, that's all a labor union is. It's really about you shall not steal. Does this world of sin require something like collective bargaining? That is, we're not employed by angels, are we? The people at the top of the big corporations, multinational corporations, companies, big and small, sometimes are in it for themselves too. And if we're not employed by angels, maybe we need something like labor unions, collective bargaining, to make sure that we're protected, our families are protected. I mean, that's after all what the old song used to say. You're helping when you're buying union products, you're helping raise our pay and support our kids and help keep the house. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Are labor unions right or wrong?
It's one thing to champion a farm worker or a textile worker. It seems to change radically when it's your own employees that are trying to unionize.
In fact, since the 1970s, church leaders have attempted, sometimes successfully, to bust Catholic teachers' unions across the country. Brian Benestead teaches theology at the University of Scranton, a Jesuit school. He says there are times when fighting the union is justified.
The right to form a union is really not an absolute right. And I think a bishop, when he would look at a teachers' union, would have to see if that union would at all get in the way of the aim of the school. You know, for example, if the existence of the union would be some kind of an obstacle to maintaining the Catholic identity, you know, or the academic excellence, or even the financial viability of the school.
All right, we're listening to a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly report on, well, the Scranton bishop there in Scranton, Pennsylvania, has decided to essentially bust a teachers' union in the Catholic Church. And I'm asking, do you think that there's anything in the Bible that either forbids or encourages labor unions, collective bargaining? Does the world that we live in, a fallen, sinful world, require things like labor unions? 1-877-623-MY-IE. We'll be right back.
Working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
Meteor showers, evidence for a young universe?
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the best-selling book, The New Answers Book.
Well, what do meteor showers have to do with the creation evolution question? Do you remember the Temple Tuttle comet a few years ago? It comes through our part of the solar system every 33 years. As it passes by the sun, its surface melts and it sheds some of its content. What we then saw in the sky was known as the Leonid meteor shower. Now, here's the comet's significance to the Bible. Because the comet becomes smaller each time it passes the sun, it could only be losing its material for a few thousand years. You see, if the comet formed billions of years ago, it would have burned out a long time ago. So this comet could only be a few thousand years old. You know what? The Bible's clear that our universe is just thousands of years old. The short lifespan of comets is a major problem for evolutionists and for Christians who believe in an old universe. What we see around us in our universe today supports what God says in His Word.
We have much more fascinating evidence to share with you that reveals our Earth is young, not billions of years old. One great tool is a booklet by Dr. Terry Mortensen on the age of the Earth. And it's such an excellent resource, we're prepared to send you 10 for your donation of any amount. The offer's ending soon, so call us today, toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS. Or go to the web, answersoffer.org.
Never been.
It's Audio Open Lines this Thursday afternoon, November the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. The question we have laid on the table is, do you think labor unions are right or wrong with all of the hubbub around the alleged failure of the auto industry? People are talking about collective bargaining, about its wisdom, but I'm concerned about its morality and whether it's ethical and biblical. Does the Bible say anything either to encourage or to discourage things like collective bargaining? 1-877-623-6943. This is an issue where Christians can honestly disagree. What do you think? Or is it one where the God's word does say, look, you shall not steal? That means if it takes a labor union, then it will take a labor union to protect my goods and my neighbor's good. 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's Joe calling from his car.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, I've had some experience working with this and kind of come from an interesting environment myself. I grew up in a union household, was born and raised on union wages, and have worked nothing but salaried jobs since I've been out of school. And I've worked with several different unions and several different industries. And being a Christian for my entire life, I basically hold that I think the church ought to remain neutral on this, namely because, you know, the Bible calls people to be long-suffering and look to forgive. And I have not seen evidence of many unions doing that. And on the other hand, it calls, you know, bosses and companies to be fair and treat their people like they would want to be treated, and that it doesn't happen much in business. And so looking for that time and time again, you can see both wrongs in both and rights in both. And I don't think you can make a flat statement that it is right or wrong in any given situation, especially blanketing them all like that.
Joe, thank you very much. Thank you very much. What about the rest of you? Is collective bargaining right or wrong? Is it biblical or is it unbiblical? Sharon's calling from her car. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I was just listening to the other person talking about the stealing. I think in the beginning, the unions dealt with that helping his neighbor protect and keep his property. But I think today, a lot of the unions are the other way, where they're actually not trying to help the employers protect and keep their property, and also doing a lot of coveting, so 9th and 10th commandment issues, because they work to get more, as in the case was a few years ago with the Northwest Pilots in Minnesota. They kept asking for more money and more money when the pilots didn't realize what the bargainers were trying to get, and they said, well, we would have been content with something a little less if you had let us know.
Sharon, thank you so much. Okay, so Sharon says, look, it may have been well-intended at the beginning, but things have gone terribly wrong in some cases with the labor unions. Agree or disagree? 1-877-623-MY-IE in Oakwood, Illinois. Here's Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I think that unions are basically a good item of adiaphora. If a laborer is worthy of his hire, he may need an advocate in the face of a sinful employer, but, you know, gifts of God like this can be abused just like any other gifts. And if everybody took Luther's advice that he gave to the cobbler to build a good shoe and offer it at a fair price, we wouldn't have need of unions. However, we're sinful and fallen creatures, and we have to struggle to be honest.
Very interesting, Scott. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Oakwood. He uses the term adiaphora. It's a kind of a technical term for things that are neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture. He seems to agree with Joe, an earlier caller. Scripture doesn't speak specifically to it, and it may be necessary or may not be necessary at times. What do you think? Is really there a biblical neutrality when it comes to collective bargaining? This email comes from Keith in North Platte, Nebraska. Is it contrary to Scripture for an employee to approach an employer to ask for benefits or wages consistent with his performance? Not that I'm aware of. Pastor Wilkin, have you put anyone under the ban for belonging to a union? Well, that's a very good question. No, I haven't. That's why I'm asking the question. Should there be some biblical word? Have we missed something in the Bible if we say, I didn't say anything? Are we missing something in the Bible, be it you shall not steal or a laborer is worthy of his wage, that speaks to the issue of collective bargaining and to labor unions? Josh is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Josh.
Hi there. I was listening from the beginning, and I think I may have missed something, but I don't I don't think that the I believe it was a bishop that refused to work with the union, and or an archbishop, and I don't recall him saying that unions were unchristian or that he was opposed to unions in general, did he?
No, in fact, I think he in the past has worked very well with the teachers' unions in the Catholic Church. What he did was essentially consolidate a number of schools in his diocese, which he's within his rights as the bishop to do. But in the course of doing this, he had to essentially bust the teachers' Catholic union because there's so fewer teachers required and so fewer jobs available. And that's it's really the stepping off point for my question about whether or not labor unions themselves are either right or wrong, biblical or unbiblical.
Right. So he had an issue with that particular union, and he had his actions aren't based on a claim that unions are unbiblical.
I don't think his claim is that at all. What do you think about it, Keith? I'm sorry, Josh. What do you think about it?
Well, to me, it's an issue that is just I guess overcomplicated. It's when you agree to work for a person, the two of you make an agreement of, you know, what's going to work for each one of you. And if it helps the employees to get together and bargain collectively with the employer, why not? I mean, as long as everyone recognizes, you know, what they have a right to and what they, for example, the lady who called earlier seemed to be saying that if you don't provide certain benefits for your employees, that you're stealing from them. Well, the Bible doesn't say that you have to give health care benefits to everyone that works for you. So I'm not sure where she's coming from on that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Josh. What about the rest of you? Do you think that Christianity and labor unions go together? What do you think about the two? Can a Christian be a member of a labor union? You know, he raised something there. No, the Bible doesn't say anything about health care benefits, period, does it? But does that mean that in paying the fair wage, so to speak, that the Bible does say ought to be between employer and employee, that part of it might be health care benefits? I mean, if you were being paid by someone who says, fine, I'm going to pay you for full-time work, but no benefits for you, you might feel like maybe, and he wasn't paying you enough to pay them yourself, you might feel like you're not getting paid worthy of your labor, and thus the genesis of many collective bargaining agreements. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
The union says money was not a big issue. The parochial teachers understand they will earn considerably less than public school teachers.
I told Catholic teachers many times, if they taught for the money, if they were here for the money, I hope their medical plan was good because they needed to have their heads examined.
Joseph Casciano is superintendent of Scranton's Catholic schools. He says money is always an issue, and coming up with more would require increasing tuition, something many parents can't afford. He is concerned that because there is so little money available for salaries, the union would instead demand, for example, that teachers not be required to attend functions like Mass with the students. And that, he says, would sidetrack them from their jobs as ministers of the gospel.
We only want what we've always wanted, and that is that you accept your responsibility as one of the ministers in our church, and we believe we do whatever it takes to fulfill that mission.
To keep people who have a legitimate right to have a say over the conditions of their employment, to keep them from doing that and using as an excuse that they're ministerial. And that's, to me, that's hiding behind religion.
To replace the teachers' union, the bishop created one of his own, representing not only teachers, but all diocesan employees.
These are associations of the administrators and the teachers and the staff people and the aides. And they meet on a regular basis to discuss, you know, everything pertaining to working conditions, benefits, and wages.
They created a company union, which is illegal in every other workplace in America. The only legitimate representation that employees could have is when they decide the method of representation that they want to have with their employer.
All right, we're listening to a story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly in Scranton. The bishop there, for some complicated circumstances, found himself busting a Catholic teachers' labor union. That's what they call it, busting the union. Well, he formed one of his own. And yet it's not the kind of representation you would find in a labor union. It's audio open lines issues, et cetera, live this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of November. We're talking with you, taking your phone calls and your email on the issue of Christians and labor unions. Call now, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. What do you think about unions formed in the church? Now, that's a novelty. People who have dedicated themselves perhaps to teaching the young or proclaiming the gospel, they were to go get together and say, look, we're poorly paid, and maybe we're poorly compensated in other ways as well. And this is pretty common in many church bodies. Going to their employers or congregations and saying, look, do right by us. We're going to organize, and we'll make you do right by us. Picketing, striking, all the things goes along with labor unions are a possibility then. And you say, okay, it's okay in the world, but not in the church? Give me a reason why. 1-877-623-6943. I want to hear from you. Does the Bible have anything to say about labor unions and collective bargaining? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. 10 more minutes of audio open lines on labor unions and Christianity after this.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out. Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
What do you think is the leading cause of death among the African American community? Heart disease, cancer, accidents? If you guessed any of those, you're wrong. The leading cause of death in the black community is abortion. I'm Day Gardner, director of Black Americans for Life. We are committed to revealing the devastating effects that abortion has had on our people and trying to stop this genocide. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information on how you can help, please visit www.nrlc.org.
Welcome back. 10 minutes left for your phone calls and your email on Christianity and labor unions. Talkback@issuesetc.org and our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Tim is waiting on the line in Belleville, Illinois. Tim, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Tim. What's up?
No, hi. Actually, I'm on a mobile phone as opposed to Belleville. But, you won't find anything about labor unions, that sort of thing, in the Bible. I think you can point to several of the commandments that where it does apply. I think that the first commandment, definitely, because this unions really become a god for a lot of people. And then we've got seventh commandment issues, because the unions, for one, have become, anyway, driven by greed and selfishness. And yet at the same time, we got Fourth Commandment, which says that it's all okay by the government. So, we have to respect the authority.
So where would you fall if answering the question, what does the Bible have to say about Christianity and labor unions? Where would you fall there?
If the source, you know, just by Fourth Commandment, they're okay. But what they've turned into, you really have to wonder, whether they're good for society or not.
Tim, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org.
Mills was a high school history teacher for 33 years before he was let go, along with other teachers, when the diocese consolidated schools. He was told that other teachers had more seniority.
I was fired from my union activity. There were a lot of teachers who had more seniority than me, but there were also a number of teachers who had lesser seniority than I did.
Kevin thought Mike Mills was probably the best teacher he ever had.
Sharon Hurrigan's son Kevin and her daughter Megan were attending Catholic schools at the time. She says she was shocked when she heard what the diocese had done because she knew the sacrifices teachers were making even when there was a union.
I saw the teachers that were, you know, sitting in broken chairs and, you know, falling out of them half the time. And they would spend their money on supplies for the classroom. They would take their free time to tutor the kids. Then it was just incredibly appalling to me that after all of this time, after, you know, 30 years of this kind of service, that they be treated so shabbily. Just appalling.
Denying the union was not a risky venture because the diocese knew the law, as it is now, is on its side.
In 1979, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Catholic teachers were not protected by the National Labor Relations Act because they weren't included in it. But when the act was written, the vast majority of Catholic teachers were nuns and priests. Now it's different. Today, 9 out of 10 teachers are lay teachers.
In a last-ditch effort to get union protection under state law, the Pennsylvania House is debating legislation known as House Bill 2626, which is similar to laws already enacted in three states. It would force a diocese to bargain collectively with teachers' unions in religious schools of all faiths and allow them to bring grievances to the Pennsylvania Labor Relations Board, a bill the diocese strongly opposes.
Okay, so it looks as we look a little bit more into this, Scranton, Pennsylvania, and the Pittsburgh story, that the Catholic Church there kind of wants to have labor unions on its own terms or when it's convenient. Do you think there's any biblical basis for either having labor unions or not having them? Is there a right or a wrong to this according to Scripture? Still plenty of time for your thoughts on collective bargaining and labor unions and Christianity. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You know, it strikes me that there are some occupations you cannot even work in if you're not a member of a labor union. I mean, whole avenues of employment that would be closed to you if you're not willing to be part of collective bargaining. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE.
If the Catholic schools are required to recognize a union, then you're going to have government, you know, intervening in the school and making decisions about whether the bishop's invocation of doctrine is really genuine.
John Dean is a lawyer and serves on the board of Holy Redeemer High School. He argues that the proposed legislation violates the separation of church and state.
House Bill 2626 would constitute a governmental intrusion into our interest in the continuing stability and religious identity of our children's educational path and an unconstitutional impingement upon our rights to religious freedom. What concerns me as a parent of Catholic students is that our teachers currently accompany our students to Mass. It is certain certain that the teachers' union will attempt to negotiate that as a term and condition of employment. I do not want the school system.
That is a lie. You were misinformed or lied to.
All right, a little bit of hot-headedness. Now, that goes along with labor unions, too, sometimes. So the question there is whether or not the teachers' union would want to bargain away the requirement that teachers attend mass in the religious schools with their students. See, this is where it gets a little iffy, right? Going to mass becomes a bargaining chip in collective bargaining? This is probably why religious school systems have stayed away from unionized labor for as long as they have. Although one wonders, is there anything essentially wrong with the church dealing with labor unions too? I want to know if you think we have a thus saith the Lord on the issue of collective bargaining, or can Christians disagree about the issue of labor unions? 1-877-623-6943. Call now. 1-877-623-MYIE.
The legislation will be reintroduced in both houses when the legislative session begins in January. While the union holds out hope, Sharon Horrigan seems to have lost hers.
Has this affected your faith?
Hugely, yeah. It's very hard for me to say this, and it's scary for me to say it, especially publicly, but I've lost my faith. I really have. And I have to say that given all of the what has gone on in our little town, in our diocese, I admire anyone that can hang on to it.
But what do we have to compromise, and where do we have to compromise? It affects the mission of the church. And one of the concerns that was at the forefront was always the mission of the schools, that it truly would be, that our schools would truly be Catholic, and that they would do what they are supposed to do, which is an extension of the church itself.
For now, that mission will proceed as dictated by Bishop Martino. An appeal from the union to the Vatican was recently denied, and the bishop's right to go forward without a union was upheld. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Lucky Severson in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Okay, a couple thoughts here. First of all, to this woman whose child was attending these Catholic schools in the midst of this controversy over collective bargaining and the Scranton bishop, for her to say she's lost her faith on account of this, where was your faith placed? Was it placed in the Catholic school system? Was it placed in how well the teachers were going to be treated by their employers? Was it placed in the church itself? And if the church shows a few cracks, a few problems, even big ones, your faith falters? But no Christian should lose their faith over this. I mean, take it from one who knows what it's like to feel the grinding effect of Christian corporate mentalities. There's no reason to lose one's faith because our faith is in Jesus Christ and not in those who claim to represent him, or even rightly so, in the human side of the equation when it comes to the Christian church. I do know what the Bible does say. It does forbid stealing. It does forbid taking advantage. It does forbid greed on the part of both employers and employees. So if you're an employee, just because you can bargain and get something that really isn't due you according to your labor, doesn't mean you should. And if you're an employer, just because you can take advantage of your employees or give them, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, give them less than they're worth according to their labor, doesn't mean you should. The Bible doesn't have anything specific to say about collective bargaining or labor unions, but it is a testament to the fallenness of our interactions with one another, that we are truly sinners. Whether you employ or whether you are employed, we are truly sinners. Look what's become of corporate America that has taken advantage of the people that work for it, or unions that have come to become so powerful in their own right that they can take advantage of not only their employers but of us, the consumers. The Bible doesn't justify any of it. I think one of our callers said it so well. If everyone in their own vocation would simply do their best and charge a fair wage, then we wouldn't need things like this. But of course, living in a fallen world, we need far more than labor unions. Collective bargaining isn't going to solve the problems of our sin, nor will making laws that tie the hands of corporate America. The only solution in this fallen world to our sin is the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who never stole, took advantage, and was a foreigner to all greed, but gave freely of himself, even his own life, for our salvation. It's the only solution. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.